Now, I'm going to go straight to this afternoon to that story, that news that broke in the last 24 hours that the Galway Ring Road is not now going ahead. It's the latest in a number of victories for environmental activists who have gone toe-to-toe against political and business heavyweights to fight proposed developments. One of those campaigners is Sive O'Neill, who's a lecturer and researcher in climate policy, and she joins me on the line now. Sive, you're welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon, Katie.
Yes, Sive, you were celebrating this announcement yesterday. Can you just explain to people why stopping a road that was being built to relieve the gridlock, and everyone recognises there is gridlock in Galway, how that could be a positive development?
Well, what I was celebrating was the decision by An Bord Pleanála to recognise that it had not properly adhered to the Climate Act. So it informed the court yesterday that it wasn't going to object to an order that would quash the decision that it made. And the reason for that is that the most recent Climate Act requires all public bodies to perform their functions in a manner that's consistent with the Act and with the most recent Climate Action Plan. But what happened in that case was that the board made its decision to approve the N6 Ring Road without having considered the most recent Climate Action Plan, which in fact had been adopted just a few days earlier, and they claimed that they didn't know anything about it. But their obligation under the law is now quite stringent. So in a way, this case does test the stringency of the obligation on public bodies to perform their functions in a manner consistent with the climate law. And this is very significant because it's going to apply to all local authorities. It's going to apply to Transport Infrastructure Ireland and all the various planning bodies in Ireland. So we have legally binding targets. They apply economy-wide. But we can't have public bodies building infrastructure that compromises our ability to meet those targets.
Do you get, though, why the average commuter, who has to get in and around Galway City every day, would have been so frustrated to hear that news yesterday?
Well, I think people in Galway have been frustrated for a very, very long time. There are very specific reasons why a road of this scale is inappropriate for Galway. For example, the public transport infrastructure is very poor. Thousands and thousands of people to the west of the city in Knocknacara and Saltine are getting in their cars because there's literally no other option. It's very, very poor in terms of public transport. Now, the reality is that this road would add to traffic. It wouldn't alleviate it because there's very little east-west traffic at the moment. Most of the traffic in Galway is people leaving the suburbs to go into the city and back out again. So the road was designed not to alleviate congestion, but to actually generate more traffic. And in fact, the inspector to An Bord Pleanála recognised that the road would lead to increased greenhouse gas emissions, and various estimates put that at 49% of an increase. So for €600 million, we're getting more emissions, more congestion, more traffic, and we're wasting an opportunity to really make Galway a model city that's designed around public transport and accessibility and active travel.
Do you feel, Sive, that like when you're looking at a scenario like this, developments are quashed or delayed, that it's people like yourself, environmental groups, that become the target of people's frustration when, in fact, it's political decisions over the years that have, put Galway in particular right now in the difficulty it finds itself in?
Yes, I do understand that. Very often politicians are under pressure to support big infrastructure projects that are sold as providing economic benefits and opening up new areas for development. But in reality, public opinion in Galway is much more nuanced and sceptical. And there's widespread support in all surveys that are being conducted nationally for more investment in public transport and active travel. In fact, Friends of the Earth commissioned a poll last June, and they found that there was an 80% support, public support for investment in reallocating road space towards cyclists and for free school buses. And one person in Galway told me today that when the schools are closed in Galway, there is no congestion. So school-induced traffic is a major contributor to the problem. And there's a total under-provision of public transport and active travel, safe cycling routes to school in the Galway region.
Another well-known environmental campaigner, a colleague of yours, Tony Lowes, he's writing in the Southern Star newspaper this week. He's responding actually to criticism from a local politician there, Michael Collins. And he's saying that actually environmental groups have to take some responsibility for this because you have failed to actually win over public opinion, in relation to issues like this.
Well, certainly I would acknowledge that there's a total failure of leadership in Ireland when it comes to climate action. We are not adequately communicating to the public the urgency and the scale of climate impact, why we need to act, and what the benefits are by us taking action to reduce car dependency and improve accessibility in public transport and so on. We're not selling this properly to the public, and our political leaders are not leading. So unfortunately, litigation tends to be quite adversarial. It's like one side against another, and there are significant consequences if you win or lose. But the reality is that in a situation where public authorities are not adhering to the law, they open themselves up to legal challenge. And in fact, Friends of the Irish Environment was only one of three applicants for a judicial review. There are two other applications as well, different grievances. So this is quite a common feature, unfortunately, in Irish planning. But what we need to address our transport problems, our congestion problems, is a kind of societal-wide vision for how things could be better. This current road-dependent, car-dependent system is not serving anybody. It's not serving business, and it's not serving citizens.
Nevertheless, a lot of citizens are looking forward to having bypasses and other major road projects in their areas. Like, what is going to happen now? You know, following what this decision or this announcement yesterday, what is likely to happen with all those other major road projects that are either in planning or development stage now?
Yes, well, I had a look at that list, actually, of the roads that are road projects that are in a kind of pipeline, and they're at different stages of the process. They have to be vetted not only through the environmental impact assessment, they're going to have to show compliance with the climate law, but they're also have to going to be screened under the public spending code. So there's a lot of tests, and this is actually a good thing because it requires the projects to satisfy multiple objectives, and not just the objective, the narrow objective of servicing more cars, essentially. Now, the different projects that are up there on the list are all quite different in nature. Some are intended to alleviate congestion, some are for road safety purposes. So they have quite different bases. The problem with the Galway Road is that the very basis for the project was always contentious. It's not a bypass in the sense it's not trying to take traffic out of the city, it's actually trying to facilitate cross-city traffic. So it's a different concept, and for that reason it's been challenged by environmentalists for a long time.
But it's not unique, Sif, is the point here, that other major road projects have to be compliant now with the Climate Action Plan, and it's not clear as of now if they are.
Well, there's a lot of infrastructure that's going to have to satisfy the same test. And the reason for that is construction, road development in particular, but any type of major infrastructure project generates greenhouse gas emissions. And we're supposed to be reducing our emissions by 51% by 2030, and we're not even on track to meeting our 2025 carbon budget. And these things matter. They're not just abstractions. They affect our quality of life. They affect the equality of access to services. And in fact, we have such a legacy of car dependency in Ireland. You know, it would be a good time to take stock of where we are and think about a new vision that works for people and the environment.
Okay, so if you can stay on the line, I want to put that to my guests here in studio. And those guests are James Brown, Minister of State at the Department of Justice with responsibility for law reform, and Fianna Fáil TD for Wexford. Roisin Shortall, co-leader of the Social Democrats and TD for Dublin North West. And joining us from our Derrybeg studio is Piers Doherty, Sinn Féin, TD for Donegal, and party spokesperson on finance. And Minister, just that last point there, like the Galway Ring Road, obviously is a very high profile one, but it's just one of a large number of major transport projects that are in the pipeline now. You know, should other people who are banking on these projects now think, okay, these might not go ahead?
Well, I think, look, the decision in relation to the N6 Galway Ring Road is disappointing for a lot of people in Galway, but obviously on board Fionnuala had to concede that they hadn't taken into account the Climate Action Plan. And but we do need...
Which is extraordinary in itself.
It is. It is extraordinary. And look, there's significant reform happening with on board Fionnuala now by Minister Dara O'Brien. But look, we do need major infrastructure as well. And simply opposing a motorway is not a solution to a particular area. So, for example, look at my own hometown of Enniscorthy that got a bypass. Enniscorthy is coming back alive since we got that bypass. And a lot of people living on the outskirts of the town who were travelling in their cars very long distances to do shopping are now coming back into the town because they no longer have congestion. Within the town, we're getting wider footpaths, street crossings, cycleways, all back in the town because we no longer have that congestion. So I don't think it's all one case or another. But obviously, look, this is the Climate Action Plan is a very important plan, but it's one more plan that the, you know, the local authorities and the planning authorities will have to take into account, as they do with environmental impacts and others. So it's a matter of absorbing climate action plans into the system. But we do need major infrastructure as well, and motorways are needed.
How do you regard groups like campaigners like Sive O'Neill and others, Tony Lowes and you know, Antashka, that, you know, are campaigning right around the country against all sorts of infrastructure developments? Do you accept that they have a right and a place in our planning structures?
No, absolutely, they have a right and a place. And we do live in, and we are now living through an environmental crisis. And so our climate has to be a priority. But that can't be simply a case of we simply blanket object or block major infrastructure either. Like, I think the key with the motorways is getting people into electric cars, onto public transport, and moving towards as quickly as possible towards e-fuels as well, such as green hydrogen. That's one of the key solutions, and that's what the government is working towards as well with our wind energy programmes.
So would you share the view of the Minister of State, Peter Burke, that there is, he called it, an industry of judicial reviews in relation to these issues? Well, that they're holding up developments around the country.
I think there are two challenges. The nature of our common law system is an adversarial system about pitting both sides to each other. That's whether it's family law, personal injury law, whatever the case may be. But we do have a planning system that I think has become extremely cumbersome. And that's why the Attorney General and Minister Dara Brian are leading a radical overhaul of our planning system to make it simple and straightforward. Certainly not to block anybody from being able to make challenges, but those challenges have to be made early and clearly, and that we can make those decisions an awful lot more quickly. Like, we should be able to get to the point we got to today and get an awful lot quicker.
Roisin Shorten, would you agree with that?
We need to reform on Bord Pleanála, there's no doubt about that. And I think it's a bit rich for Minister Peter Burke now to be giving out about judicial reviews. The vast majority of judicial reviews are upheld in the courts. And that is because of the kind of fast track, cutting corners system of planning that's going on at the moment, both through the SHDs, but more importantly, through the mandatory planning guidelines that successive ministers since 2015 have set down, completely bypassing local authorities, completely bypassing the professional planners within the local authorities and giving
permission.
These
come back to bite them.
Oh, they come back to bite them. Because
but they've all been reversed now by Dara O'Brien.
No, sorry, they haven't. The SHDs are being phased out. There's still a lot of them in the system, Minister. But what is even more offensive in terms of good planning and development is the mandatory guidelines. Because the mandatory guidelines removed all height limits, reduced sizes of apartments, have fast-tracked the decision-making around those and have completely gone against local opinion, including, as I say, professional planners' opinions. So that's where the difficulty is, and that's why we're ending up with the kind of housing that is not in demand, that is completely unsuitable, certainly for suburban areas, and in many cases where you can't actually buy any of those units because they're all in the main build-to-rent. That's
just
the problem.
For today, so if we can stick with the issue of transport projects and major road projects, I'm going to bring in Piers. I'll bring you back in, Roisin.
I'm happy to talk about the Galway situation. Now, I mean, there is no doubt that many of our cities and aren't our big towns are completely overrun with traffic. Now, where you have gridlock in towns and cities, the solution in the main is not to build more roads.
Do you think
sustainable transport systems.
And in the case of Galway, would you have supported that ring road?
No, I wouldn't have actually, because it would bring more traffic into the city centre. And what is required in Galway is a proper transport system. You know, we need to take initiatives in relation to, say, free buses. But critically, what is needed is a light rail transport system. That has been promised.
It's the glue that we've been talking about for a very long time.
Yeah, it was promised for a number of years. Last year, the Minister, Eamon Ryan, promised a feasibility study on that. We're still waiting for it.
Okay.
And we know that, say, a number of months ago in Salt Hill, where parents were trying to ensure that there would be a safe cycle route for children going to school, that wasn't even permitted by some of the local councillors.
Okay, I need to bring in...
Priority was given to car traffic.
Piers Doherty, where is Sinn Féin on this?
Well, look, where would the people of Galway at this point in time are waiting and waiting and waiting, and they're waiting years in relation to a decision on the Ring Road. This isn't just, you know, this year's story. This has been going on for years now. We're all familiar with the traffic congestion in Galway. It's not just people in Galway. You know, when people from outside of Galway, whether they're from Donegal or elsewhere, are travelling down there, you come close to the city and it's complete congestion. And we've had no initiatives. We've had no investment in relation to, you know, commitments in terms of the Western Rail Corridor, the need to deliver additional bus capacity, the need to deliver additional lines, the need to make sure that buses are running not just on during daytime but also nighttime, as we've seen being successful in other areas. They're the things that now need to immediately happen, because the people of Galway and its surrounding areas can't wait any longer, and this is causing an issue in terms of the city, but also the quality of life, and also in terms of emissions. You know, we talk about emissions here. People are still using their cars in and out, and people are caught up in traffic. It's obviously causing more pollution for the environment. So we need to see serious action from government now in terms of public infrastructure, public transport in relation to this. As regard to Bord Planoll, at this point, nothing is surprising me in relation to that organisation. The fact that they failed to carry out their duty under law, which was to consider the climate action plan has resulted in this now being thrown out.
And just in relation to the wider issues that raises then with the whether or not other major transport projects are, by their very nature, going to be compatible with the climate action plan.
Well, the one thing we don't know at the minute is if and Bord Planoll actually valued this or queried this in light of the climate action plan, would they still have made the same decision? That's an unknown. My understanding is what they've said is they didn't do that. They didn't know that there was a climate action plan, and therefore, as a result of not complying with the law there, that has resulted in the quashing of this decision. If they actually looked at the climate action plan, they might have came to the conclusion that this was compatible with it. They may not have. But so it's not a case, you know, right across the board that road infrastructure, whether they're for public safety or whether they're for access into communities, that they will now be under jeopardy. We need to make sure that we have a planning authority that is robust enough and that can deliver determinations with full input from all of the sectors that are entitled to have an input, but also to make those decisions in a quick and speedy manner.
Well, I can tell you we're getting a huge number of texts and emails in on this issue, and a lot of them along the lines of this. I live in Tipperary and work in Cork. I have to drive. The first train gets into Cork at 9:20 a.m, a bit late for work. That's from Mick. Where are all the electric cars going to go if we don't build these new roads? That's from Aideen in Cork. They need space and proper planning too. Then we have another caller. I want to put this one to you, Sive. Yet again, Dublin-based environmentalists blocking development in the West, suggesting that cycling is the answer.
No, I understand that grievance, but the reality is that these debates pop up everywhere, every time there's a major road project. I lived for 20 years in Kilkenny, and we had a long debate about a new bridge and inner access route as well. We had exactly the same debates. I saw that in Sligo, I've seen it in relation to projects in Dublin and all over the country. So while Galway is a unique case, the actual discourse about infrastructure is pretty the same. Now, the only thing is that when we're debating about a particular road, it's too late. We need to pull back and think about what is our vision for how to make our transport system sustainable and accessible for all. And by the time you're debating a road, it's too late. We need to pull back and we need to redesign the way we get around, particularly in urban areas, which are being choked. And we're talking about pollution, noise pollution, severance, and also various types of inequalities and forced car ownership. It costs €10,000 on average to run a car. And that's a huge amount of money out of people's disposable income.
Okay.
And
okay.
all the money we spend on fuel is going outside the country. No economic benefit to Ireland.
OK. Thank you for that, Saeva O'Neill. Just before we leave this, Minister, would you put money on that road going ahead now, that ring road going ahead?
No, I think the ring road will still happen, but what needs to happen now is the local authority and National Transport Authority need to re-engage and assess the road under the Climate Action Plan. But I think there is a real cause for that motorway, and there is a cause for infrastructure. It, as I say, it's not simply a necessary.
You're completely dismissing everything that Saeva O'Neill had to say there.
No, absolutely not. I mean, I have actually specifically said that the Climate Action Plan needs to be incorporated into it and taken as part of the development, same as we already have significant reviews like the environmental impact
assessment. But she says that the Galway Ring Road will just make things worse for Galway.
Well, as I say, but my personal experience of Enniscorthy is completely different. Our town is coming back alive and we are seeing people cycling and walking as we can now put the infrastructure into the town that we couldn't put in there when the road, when the town was blocked with trucks and heavy traffic that needs to get long distances from A to B.
Okay, we'll leave that there. One last text. I hope this is a line in the sand for public transport policies. This is from Anne-Marie in Waterford. Most people I know would use public transport if it was frequent and reliable and would cycle if it was safe. We'll take a break.